This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, May 3, 2020. The Fourth Sunday of Easter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all the hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. These are some of the words from Psalm number 33 that opened the Mass today. Psalm number 33 speaks of this Lord who looks down from heaven, that one who beholds his entire flock, that Good Shepherd. This is Good Shepherd Sunday. We see a description and the characteristics of the Good Shepherd presented to us throughout the Old Testament. The fact that Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd, he is the sheepfold, he is the gate in which we must enter. He and he alone, from the Gospel today, he is that Good Shepherd, but it is not a New Testament analogy. Ezekiel speaks at length about what good shepherds are and what bad shepherds are. Our Lord is just the manifestation of the Good Shepherd. He bears all the characteristics and perfection that the Good Shepherd demonstrates before his sheep. And when a shepherd demonstrates the characteristics of a Good Shepherd before his sheep, that's when they know his voice, that's when they will follow him. Our Lord does indeed look down from us on heaven. He sees all of us, and no matter what situation we find ourselves. But again, we have to look at the foundation of what makes a good shepherd. And we learn them from such things as the Psalms. This is why it's important to pay attention to the Psalms that we hear recited in the Mass, because they are the prayers that have given us not only to tell us, for instance, this one, rejoice in the Lord. How many Psalms start out, rejoice in the Lord? But they all tell you why you should rejoice in the Lord. And in this one in particular, they lays out why we should rejoice in the Lord is because he has some characteristics that make him the good shepherd for us. What is the characteristic that makes the good shepherd? In this particular psalm, it's continuity. It's steadfastness in the character of the shepherd. He does not waver no matter what the situation may be. Not only does he not waver in any situation, he actually stands strong, particularly in adverse situations. When things get bad, the shepherd should be the more stalwart. He should be more up in your face. This is a good shepherd. If you read the psalm, you can kind of get lost in the fact that, for instance, it refers to one of the verses, the word of the Lord is upright. Okay, when we hear the word of the Lord, what do we generally think about? Scripture, which is indeed the word of the Lord. However, we also have to appreciate that why are the scriptures the word of the Lord? Because that's what the Holy Spirit has communicated to us. We're not talking about Scripture. We're talking about the Word of the Lord. God spoke and all things came into existence through His Word. And what do we learn from John chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. Of what it is speaking, it's not speaking of Scripture. It's speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we hear this, not only do we understand that Scripture is inerrant and infallible. It does not err. There is no mistake in it anywhere. It does not fall. Infallible. That's what that means. It does not fall, no matter what the arguments may be against it. It will not fall. Our Lord Jesus Christ says about it, the heavens and the earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. But why is it? It's because not the word itself. It is the source of the word, Jesus Christ Himself. This word never changes. The psalmist goes on to say, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The counsel of the Lord. His faithful adherence to His providence. His faithful adherence to His purpose for us. What is our Lord Jesus Christ's purpose for us? to get us into heaven. This is why he points to himself as the only gate through which we can enter, the only one. He doesn't say, I'm the gate, so is Muhammad, so is law-keeping of Moses, so is your own personal philosophy. He is the only gate that gets us into heaven. Him and him alone. And he is faithful in his adherence to this. It's never going to go away. There's not going to be another truth that comes up. There are not many gates to the sheepfold. God Almighty himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, has said, I, and everybody else who come is a thief and a robber. A lot of people might point to other gates, but they are, as our Lord Jesus describes, thieves and robbers. The psalmist glories in this fact that God's providence, for we hear that word a lot, providence provides for. Our Lord provides for us. He provides for us to the point of shedding his blood, to dying for us. He provides for us. Now he is in heaven interceding for us and preparing a place for us. But he expects something to be going on down here. And that something to be going on down here is that his under shepherds, those who he has put in his stead down here, bear these characteristics of being upright and standing forever, no matter what the circumstances may be. It says in that psalm that God's plan frustrates the plans of men. It doesn't matter how many of people pose the truths of God. There are a lot of people, there are a lot of Catholics. You know, I can't believe he said Jesus is the only way, because I have Jewish friends and I have Muslim friends and everything. And Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven because he says so, not me. He says it. No matter how many people oppose that, what the words of Scripture, they come to the fore. He frustrates the plans of people. There are a lot of people on the face of this earth, billions, whose plans are that they're going to get to heaven through another gate. And the psalmist, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says he frustrates those plans. He frustrates the plans of men. No matter how many people oppose the truths of our Lord Jesus Christ, they will still stand. We're in the Easter season. What do? We glory in the fact that our Lord is risen from the dead during the Passion Week narratives that we heard read. Crucify him. Crucify him. Were there a one or two or a handful of vociferous people? No, they all cried out, crucify him. And they did. And he died. And they wagged their heads at him and they went home. And then the third day, what happened? He took his life back up. Our Lord Jesus Christ reigns in heaven now, contrary to what all the ones who yelled, crucify him. That was everybody. The only ones that weren't yelling, crucify him, were his apostles who fled. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the stalwart. He endured the Father's will for our salvation. This is a character of a good shepherd. The psalmist says, yea, our hearts are glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Our hearts are glad. We are happy. We have to orient ourselves properly onto what is happiness. I'm not talking what you think might be happiness, but what is happiness? What is happiness? For us, it's not hedonistic. It is not self-centered. A few years ago, when the Supreme Court was bantering back and forth, as if it's something to banter back and forth about, well, what marriage is, watched a pagan reporter standing in front of a bunch of people who had signs that read, Catholics for Love. And even a heathen reporter was like, well, doesn't that really kind of violate your faith? Why are you? No, because God wants everybody to be happy. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. There's not a word in this book that says God wants you to be happy. There's a bunch of words in this book that said you will be happy if you live in conformity with his will, but he doesn't want you to be happy. He wants you to go to heaven. Because that's wherein our happiness lies, but it even starts here. St. Augustine lets us know what our Catholic happiness is. Our happiness consists in possessing God. A very succinct, very brief statement. That's where our happiness lies. Not in what we want to do in this world, not what we feel. Our happiness consists in possessing God. That's what we, you know, what do we think about when we talk about getting to heaven? Like it's a nice place to hang out for eternity? No. It's where we go to possess God and where He possesses us. You know, this divine possession, this really does drive home the point that God does desire our eternal happiness. And if He puts a little rain on your parade of what makes you happy here, that's fine for you to have happiness possessing Him for all eternity, because He wants you to be really happy. Not just for a fleeting few moments or few years down here. He wants you to be happy for all eternity. In this concept of divine possession, when we possess God, we'll be happy. And I mean, like I said, it even starts here. That's why we approach situations in this world completely different than they do. I mean, I think we all know that there's a bunch of people still hunkered down in their houses in the fetal position, whining about the potential of getting sick. Okay? Why are you here? You approach things differently. It doesn't mean we're imprudent. It doesn't mean it's not a consideration for us, but our priorities are different. And they should be. Because we want to possess God. And we will do anything to do that. And anything to facilitate this eternal possession of God. Because it will make us happy. But it's interesting to think about when He possesses us when we go to heaven. You know, God is all, He's ever been eternally happy. He has been eternally happy and will be eternally happy in His Trinitarian glory. He does not need to possess you to be happy. God doesn't get sad because I don't go to heaven. Okay? He's still eternally happy. That was on me if I don't go to heaven. All right? I'm working on it. But we have to appreciate the fact that to possess God is to make us happy, but for Him to possess us, although it doesn't increase His happiness, He knows it will make us happy for all eternity. And that's what He wants for us because we are His creatures. And He wants that good for us. So we possess Him to be happy, and He possesses us so that we can be happy. That's how much He cares about us being happy. And that He would send His only begotten Son to die on the cross to do that. We've got to appreciate that. Yeah, that verse that I read, trust in His holy name, that's not the letters of Jesus. It's not tacking that name onto the end of our prayers or just speaking of it philosophically. Then we trust in the name of Jesus. That idea of name makes it personal. We as Catholics have this personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. I always like when a Protestant says, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Oh, so much more than you know. And for you, it's theological and mystical and spiritual. For us, it's objective. It's real. How much more personal does it get is receive His body, blood, soul, and divinity into your very being when you come to Mass. That's one of the travesties that we're experiencing right now, is people are deprived of that in so many places, and it's problematic. It's problematic particularly when you see that who is in custody of the bread of life and the water that leads to eternal salvation, the church. And if you don't feed the sheep, how in any way, shape, or form is that being a good shepherd? The psalmist says, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. This is what a shepherd is. A shepherd's contrary to the popular presentation are not there to keep the door held open for everyone. Lions, bears, wolves. He is there to guard that gate against those things. He is our help and our shield. King David, a man after God's own heart, brags on how he was a shepherd, and he doesn't brag about, I always gave the sheep really good grass. You know what he brags about? Killing lions and choking a bear to death. That's what he brags about. He was their help and their shield as a young man because he was brave. He had character. He had fortitude to stand in the face of danger. He didn't run when that lion came. He choked that bear to death. And choking a bear to death? I mean, really? And that's what he brags on. Shepherds are supposed to be like that. They are our help and our shield. It doesn't say our soul waits on the Lord because he's nice and he gives me things when I pray. He says he's our help and our shield, and his under shepherds are supposed to be him in this world. Because we praise God not for what we hear about shepherds in here. We don't even praise God only for what he has done for us on the cross, that we pray to him in praise for what he continues to do for us. He continues to raise up shepherds to stand and be a help and a shield for his people. And when they don't do that, there is a tremendous problem. What would a shepherd be if he talked a good show? Hey, sheep, you know, I'm here for you. I'll never let anything happen to you, sheep. Oh, I'll be here for you. I got this shepherd's crook. You know what a shepherd's crook for? You know, bishops carry them, croziers. That's what it is, a shepherd's crook. You know what shepherds use those for? When the sheep are getting too far astray, they hook them up with it. They use force with it to pull the sheep back. Yeah, that's one thing you use for. You know what another thing they use for? To bash the skulls of wolves. That's what the shepherd's crook's for. And what would a shepherd be like if he stood around with his shepherd's crook and said, sheep, I am there for you. Yeah, you see that wolf over on that hill over there, sheep? If it would ever come around here, I'll take care of you. And all of a sudden the sheep were like, hey, there's a pack of wolves and they're running toward us like they really don't care if you're here or not. What kind of shepherd would it be if he ran into his house, closed the doors, and said, hey, sheep, do this. There's really wolves coming, sheep. Yeah, so kind of scatter and go like hide in bushes and stuff. And you said you were going to protect. I am protecting you. Look at me through the window. I'm in my house with the door shut. Look at me through the window. What's that doing for us? I'm here for you, sheep. You're like, that would be a horrible shepherd. Yes, it would. Yes, it would. John chapter 10, we had the gospel today. Talked about the good shepherd and all the things that Jesus is. He speaks on. He says, he who is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and cares nothing for the sheep. The gospel of the Lord. We know what a good shepherd is and is supposed to be from Scripture. And we know when we can tell when they're bad. And our Lord Jesus Christ says, those sheep do not hear their voice. And if their sheep are smart, they flee. Our Lord is our help and our shield. Our Lord is there for us. He was there for us, and that was the cost. It's not really prudent, Jesus, to go into Jerusalem because they want to kill you. Guess what? I'm going to Jerusalem. Hey, Father Damien of Malachi, you know, that's a leper colony. Don't go there because that's imprudent. You could get sick and die. Not maybe. You will. Father Damien. Okay. And where did he go? Malachi. And what happened to him? He got sick and died. St. Aloysius Gonzaga, the same thing. Yeah. The Black Plague. And what happens? St. Aloysius, not even a priest yet, not even in clerical orders, he goes and he tends to people who have the plague. They wanted to do things like that. They prayed. These guys prayed for martyrdom. Yeah. And all of a sudden, we're in a day when, oh my gosh, you can get sick. Got a serious problem. We don't have a problem with our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have a problem with good shepherds. We just have to hear their voices in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.